which reading is from Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beam of his upper chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flame and fire his servants. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. From 2 Peter 1, verses 16 through 18. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father, when the voice came down to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves have heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Second reading is from Luke 9, verses 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flashing light. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, the cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you join me in prayer? God, I pray for your holy word, and we ask you to speak through your word and speak through me with power and majesty. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to try to figure out what the disciples, Peter, James, and John, were trying to figure out. So we'll look at that as you look at the passage and look through to go through the chapter where it begins. It begins with actually the feeding of the 5,000. A miracle of God's caring, a miracle of drawing people together, a sense of God's miraculous filling or fulfilling of what's going on. Then the story goes to where Peter proclaims him as the Messiah, the Christ. And once that happens, explain it to you a little bit differently. If you're ever in a company or in the military and your boss gets promoted, let's suppose you have a boss that's like a local general manager, and he becomes head of Ford Motor Company, and he takes you with him. There's slightly different expectations. Or you're playing a sport and you win your conference and then you win whatever comes next and then you win the state or are about to play for the state championship. The expectations have changed. You understand how those expectations would change? Because that person, perhaps the coach, perhaps your boss, has now risen in power. And the expectation that goes with you is now higher. us both good and frightening. Because it's a whole different ballgame. Or, let's say you're musicians and you play before. I watched that one of those talent shows, America's Got Talent, and there's some fellow people that play in the subways, and then suddenly they're on your Got Talent, and they're before like a million people. All of this is happening, and so their expectations have radically changed. And they're trying to figure out what to do about it. Now, along with expectations comes the purpose that you're about. Any good system or employee or church or anything you work in, you have a sense of purpose. And when the expectations are raised, when the God you serve is lifts you higher, so comes a refiguring of my purpose here and where you're at. And so this is happening, and they were trying to figure out, and in fact, you could say they were trying to configure. Configure themselves for the new purpose. To configure means to adapt to that which is coming, to adapt their lives to it. As they're doing this, this is taking in a lot. The miracle of caring, the miracle of being fulfilled, but Messiah is their teacher, their Lord. And then that Messiah, as we've talked about him through the weeks, he said he's going to be crucified. He's going to be beaten. There's a host of prophecies. And now, they're dealing not just with figuring out the fulfillment, not just configuring their lives towards a different purpose. They are, if you will, they would have been preoccupied with the thought of the disfiguring of this Messiah. The disfiguring of the Messiah who's about to be transfigured. During the time of King James, the bishop of Exeter, he preached this sermon, and it was about this strange glory. It's about the transfiguration, this strange glory. And he said, how on a strange occasion when his head shone with glory, when just moments ago they were thinking about the possibility of his being disfigured and torn, and when the crucifixion comes, they have two images that are fighting in their minds. When we deal with the loss of someone we love, we have the memories we hold on to. And the reality of the struggles that they faced. And so this tension is going on, this strange glory. And the Bishop of Exeter said he was transfigured on the mount to think how he must be disfigured on the cross. It's just at war with itself. And it's a war inside. And it's a war we know as we face the good times and the bad, and they interact and they war with each other. Now, as this occurs, let's go back to the story again. After 8 days, this is 8 days after the feeding, and the proclaiming of the Messiah, and his saying that he must die and be crucified. After 8 days, Jesus said this. He took Peter, John, and James, and he went up onto the mountain to pray. Now, you hear a sermon on the mountain, it was virtually a hill. But when it says he took them up on the mountain, scholars argue over which mountain, because it's a real mountain. Probably Mount Hermon would be my best guess. And if you looked screens up above, but probably the mountain they show. So he's up on a real mountain. And they're praying. We need to always remember that prayer not only changes things, prayer not only changes things, it changes us. Do you realize that? We pray for God to do X, Y, or Z, and in that prayer, whatever our faith or lack of faith, even the conveying of the thought that we can't put into words, to exercise that amount of faith begins to change us. It begins to put us in touch with the power of God that reaches down. Like the Sistine Chapel, God reaching down and touching Michelangelo, prayers like that. It touches us, and you realize that they need to be touched by the love of God. And mountains are such a wonderful place. How many of you have been on top of a relatively serious mountain? Can you remember the view? Are there any of you that can't remember the view? You see, it's just wow. But on the mountain, if you're up there, when the sun is rising, you see it soonest. Or even when it's setting, you watch it longest. And the disciples awaken to this. And it says something from God for them. Now, by the way, before we go further, I'm a Broadway theater buff. One of the theater ones that I enjoyed many years ago was on a clear day, you can see forever. Now, just to make sure you're awake and tracking with me, can any of you think of probably the most famous Detroit songster to sing on a clear day? You can see from. What? Robert, is she from Detroit? I promise to warn you. By the way, the movie is about Daisy Gamble and Barbara Streisand plays it in the movies. Somebody else in the film, John Cullen. He sings on a clear day, you can see forever. Arise and see the morning. Oh, by the way, let me give you a clue. This singer who recorded on a clear day, you can see forever, he sang it with all the force of a tiger. Danny McLean. Way back when he recorded that. That's a picture for the young ones. It was a pretty good picture, but seriously, that's what God is like. Especially on a clear day, it seems like you can see forever, and it gives us a perspective on the eternity of God. And the raise our hopes in the musical, the gal, Daisy Gamble. Has terrible self-value. She just low self-esteem. And this is part of rising and seeing possibilities for her. When you're on the mountaintop with God, when you're in prayer, when you dare to pray for that which is deepest in your heart, something begins to change. It's if there is something saying deep within you, there's more to come. There's more to come. Now, we don't stay on the mountain. We take that which has awakened in us down into the valley. And very often we get down in the valley, it's trampled on. And even occasionally it's trampled on by church people. But we have Behold the Majesty in the song that was read that says that the Lord is clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as a garment, and the glory of the Lord endure forever. He goes on to say in the passage, and he was praying, and the appearance of his face changed. Metamorphized is the great word, and it speaks of a radical transformation. In the Latin, when I bought it, I translated it something that's like transfigure or else. Latin scholars, forgive me. But from that, we get the word transfiguration. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. You ever lay out somewhere in the dark and you don't have a flashlight or something, and it starts to rain? That's not fun. And then the lightning starts to flash. And actually, I think that's fun, but I'm not too healthy. My wife is. That flash of light. And in the transformation, the light of God is flashing into their life. It's like bursts of what God is doing and what's done in their life. And they see just maybe it can make a difference. The word transfigure has a cold meaning. In English, I just looked it up in the dictionary. To change so as to glorify or to exalt. To change as to glorify or to exalt. And this glorious splendor, and it says Moses and Elijah were there. And the glorious, it appeared a glorious splendor. The splendor from the Lord. And they're talking with Jesus, and they spoke about his departure, about his bringing the fulfillment of Jerusalem. Elijah and Moses, who met with God. When did Moses meet with God? Other than that, the burning bush, where did he receive the Ten Commandments? Where did he see what would be the promised land? On the mountain. And so it's appropriate that they had another mountain here up there. And Moses, he doesn't focus on the law. Otherwise, they'd just send Aaron. He focuses on the fulfillment of the law, the purpose of the law, the mark, the definition, the pointing there. And it flashes, and they begin to glorify God, to transfigure, is to bring to glory, to exalt. And God does it, and it changes. This is so powerful. In our society, we lose sight of how powerful this has been throughout history, this transfiguration. Elijah, who did not die, but walked with God, is there, and he's transfigured, and he shows the promise of walking with God in glory, to change so as to glorify. And Matthew and Isaiah have prophesied it earlier. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, in the midst of the pain of loss, have seen a great light. A light has dawned and has flashed. Even the darkness, even the trampling of our dreams, do not take away the possibility of divine expectations for our life, the radiance of God. You know, the Nicene Creed, we don't use it very often, but one of the neat parts of the Nicene Creed is where it says God from God, life from light, true God from true God, and it comes and it changes us. And then a voice comes from the Lord, this is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And what it's saying is there's more yet to be. It's not like I get a message and then God says, take care of it. It's like God gives me a hint of the possibilities of my life. And I can continue to listen for the voice of God. I can go to his word and know that the Spirit of God will speak through the word of God. And it will not just configure me, it will transfigure me. It will lift me up so that I can share with others the glory of it. In John, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And what does it say after that? We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The light of the world. Well, let me close with this. I was visiting my grandson this weekend. I came back from worship. Any of you that have grandchildren, right? Any of you that have grandparents now, they just love to see a grandchild. So I was seeing my little baby, David, in London. And visiting with him, it was just such a joy for me. And he's a happy kid. So he might even see me on the ground. And my son, before he works for a company, they sent him to Germany for a week. And so he was in Nuremberg, Germany. And while he was at it, his kitchen is being remodeled. Which is just so wonderful because all the stuff in the kitchen and the dining room were all poured into another room. And my daughter was so lovely. And as we were doing that, my son had left before any of this was happening. So he's going to come home and see the cupboards all in place and lights on. And so finally, on Saturday, he comes home. And I'm in the family room. And there's a bunch of people that have to greet him. So I, in my lazy way, just stay on my couch. And eventually, he comes in. And he greets his son, David Elijah. And he starts to play with him on the floor and enjoy him. Doing a lot of silly stuff, and they're both smiling a whole bunch. And I eventually came over and said, "Hi, Dad. And then I figured, well, you know, put a lot of effort into this kitchen remodel. And I said, "Well, Daddy, how's the kitchen look? How's the lights?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Why would I waste time on that when I can see my child? Why would I waste time on lights in the kitchen when I can see the light in his eyes? The light's in his son's eyes, who's thankful that his father has come home." He was transfigured. His glory filled the earth. They began to rejoice. But part of that glory was the God of all heaven was with them and said, not to Jesus, not just to Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love and am well pleased." But they said it to God's people. glory of God comes. The glory of God empowers. The glory of God raises your expectations. And the glory of God embraces you. Because you're part of the light of God. And you reflect.